This is Pam Schultz. It's Wednesday, June 2nd at 12:40 p.m. I am here to interview Lori Bueller at her place of employment in Battle Creek, Michigan. This interview is being conducted for the South Central Michigan Quilters Save Our Stories project of the Alliance for American Quilts. How are you today, Lori?
I'm fine. How are you?
Pretty good. Tell me about the quilt you brought in today.
This quilt is it's obviously not my best work, but it's got meaning to me because it was really one of the first ones that I designed myself. It didn't come from a pattern in a book or a purchased pattern or anything like that. It started because I bought templates, plastic templates that were a certain shape, and you know, I kind of played with them and laid them together and it made a flower. So then I put this design together myself. This quilt is made out of flannel. It's actually I call it my personal snuggle quilt because it's the quilt that I use to lay on the couch or whatever, and you can see that the binding is all worn off. You see that? Both ends are that way. I pull it from the end rather than the sides, but I'll have to replace the binding on that, but it's well used and well loved.
Yes. What special meaning does this quilt have for you?
Well, like I said, it was the first one I designed, and I had it in the quilt show when I was Quilter of the Year in 2001. It was part of my display, and a lot of people were asking me about the pattern for it, and of course I designed it myself, so it didn't have a pattern, and a lot of people liked it and were interested in the pattern, and it got me to thinking that maybe I can design my own patterns, and it kind of got me started down the line of thinking of developing patterns and trying to sell them. And that's eventually where my book came from, and this pattern is included in my book, and I brought along a second quilt that's the same pattern, but it's done in cottons and it looks nice. And this is the pattern that's in my book.
Tell me about your book.
My book is called Quilter's Happy Hour. It was published by Martindale & Company in 2008. It has 11 patterns in it, and all the quilts are named after cocktails, and they have the cocktail recipes in it, and it was a very exciting project for me to do, to see something come out in print with my name on it.
Yeah, it is. Why did you choose to bring this quilt to the interview?
Because, like I said, it does have special significance. It kind of got me started into the down the path of designing my own quilts. And mostly that's what I do now.
What do you think someone viewing this quilt might think about you?
About me? I don't know. She uses her quilt and wears the binding now. it's nice and soft.
And the next one is, how do you use this quilt? And you've kind of answered that already.
Yeah.
Do you have any other plans for this quilt?
No, I'm not sharing it with anybody. This one's mine.
Tell me about your interest in quilt making.
It really started very early. I remember as a child, my mother, you know, she taught me how to sew, and she didn't quilt, so she just did garments, and so that's what I did. And she also taught me to crochet and do needlework of all kinds, and never really made any quilts, but I do remember our family was friends with another family, and on Sunday afternoons we used to kind of swap kids back and forth to the other person's house on Sunday afternoon, and my sister came home from these friends' house, and they had worked on a project together, and she had made a quilt out of big squares in there. I think they were like almost like upholstery fabric samples. You know, she brought that home, and I was so jealous that she had made this quilt, you know, because it appealed to me even then. But I didn't really get into quilting until I was an adult, and it was back when the country style of decorating was starting to get popular, and I wanted a quilt for my wall, and I couldn't find one, because if I could find one that I could afford, it wasn't in the right colors. If I could find one in the right colors, it wasn't what I could afford, so I decided to make one myself, and that's how I got started.
And at what age did you start quilt making?
Probably about 24, 23 okay. or 24.
From whom did you learn to quilt?
At that time, there was a lady in my church who was a quilter, and she She showed me how to do the hand quilting stitch. She was the first person who showed me anything about quilting. The first quilts I made were from pattern, so I didn't really have anybody teach me. I got into one pattern. It was a bed size quilt, and it was a giant dahlia pattern. Yeah. Well, and the story behind that, I wanted to make a quilt for my bed, and my mother and I were in a quilt shop, and she is, like I said, is not a quilter. She sews, but she's not a quilter. And I had a pattern in my hand for a trip around the world quilt that I was going to do, you know, squares. And she saw this giant dahlia one, and she said, oh, this one would be easier. It has bigger pieces. But it's a huge circular design, and I laid it out on the floor and cut around it like you do a dress pattern. You know, I wasn't really being too careful about how I was cutting it, and I wasn't being too careful with my quarter inch seams. So when I laid out that big circular design, pulled the edges all out, the center of it raised up probably about 2 feet. Literally, I mean, it was like this on the ground. It was horrible. But my mother, she tore it all apart, and I paid a little bit more attention to my quarter-inch seams and put it back together, and it's a finished quilt. So at that point, I knew enough to know I didn't know enough about quilting. So I took a class, at the beginning quilt making class at the quiltery.
How many hours a week do you quilt?
Well, of course, it depends on the week. I'd say, probably 4 to 6 hours a week, maybe more, depending on if I've got something I need to get done.
What is your first quilt memory?
Like I said, with my sister coming home with a quilt and me being very jealous that she got to make a quilt and I didn't.
Well, that kind of leads to the next question. Are there other quilt makers among your family or friends?
Not really. I do have two quilt tops that were made by a great-grandmother, but I'm not really sure. My mother, it was through my mother's family, she had them, and she wasn't sure if it was her maternal or paternal grandmother that made them. So I do have quilt tops that were made by great-grandmothers, but I'm not really sure who they are, unfortunately.
How does quilt making impact your family?
Well, everyone sleeps under a quilt. As far as time and everything, my family is very tolerant of the time I spend quilting. You know, they don't complain if there's no, of course, it's just my husband and I now, but even when my daughter was small, you know, there was no complaints of no dinner on the table because I was quilting. They're very understanding about it.
Have you ever used quilts to get through a difficult time?
Well, not anything specifically, no. It's just it's a soothing way to get through any difficult times, but nothing specifically, no.
Tell me about an amusing experience that has occurred from your quilt making.
Well, I don't know. I'd have to think about that one. Can we come back to that one?
Sure, we can. What do you find pleasing about quilt making?
It's just, I guess it's the creativity of it. You know, you work on it to see what it's going to look like when it's done. You know, that's why I like to do things that use a multitude of fabrics for the most part, because so if every block's the same, by the time you've made 10, there's no anticipation of what it's going to look like. You know, I like to use different fabrics so that each block looks different, so that when I get done with the block, it's like, oh, that's what it looks like together. It's the process, the creativity process, I think.
What do you find pleasing about quilt making?
Isn't that the same one?
I'm sorry, it is. I didn't check. That's why I started checking them. What aspects of quilt making do you not enjoy?
Basting. Basting, yeah. There's not much fun about that. You know, you get down on the floor and you're on your hands and knees.
You gotta do it until it's done.
Yeah.
You can't leave it on the floor.
That's right.
What art or quilt groups do you belong to?
I belong to the Calico Quilters, which is the quilt guild. I also belong to the Ladies of the Lake, which is a smaller circle. Don't really attend any of their meetings right now. It's just hard when I'm working, but I go on the retreats and everything.
Have advances in technology influenced your work?
Yeah, I've got a really cool sewing machine that does a lot of stuff. So I would say yes, you know. When I got my new sewing machine, of course, I've had it for probably 5 years now. It has that automatic thread cutter, and that's a sweet thing. And it's all computerized. Of course, the rotary cutter, when I first took my first quilt class, the rotary cutter was just coming out and becoming popular. So that was an advance in technology back then.
What are your favorite techniques and materials?
I like to do applique. I just finished a quilt that had a lot of piecing on it, and then it's like it wasn't as much fun as doing applique. I enjoy that more. And materials, of course, I just use cotton. And like I said, I like to use a variety of fabrics rather than just, you know, three or four in a quilt.
Describe your studio or the place that you create.
It's the third bedroom in our house. So I had the whole room to do with what I want. It is the guest room because the sofa in there turns into a bed. It's got a TV and a chair so I can sit and do handwork in there. I'm just in the process of trying to reconfigure it and have my husband build me some new furniture so that it's more workable. I've got a sewing machine and a table, and then I've got a cutting table, but being so short, it's at the wrong height for me. So I really want something that, like cabinets all across the wall, that will have lots of room to put things away. So I do have a room to myself, but I'm working on trying to make it better.
How do you balance your time?
I don't cook or clean.
I like that. Do you use a design wall?
I do have one. It's a flannel, kind of a freestanding thing, so you can put it up and take it down. I probably don't use it too much for designing, meaning, looking at things and rearranging things. I mean, I like to just put things up as I finish them so I can see them. So I do have one, yeah.
What do you think makes a great quilt?
That's different for everybody. I mean, everybody has different tastes. What I may think is a great quilt, somebody else might not think so much. So it's just a personal opinion, the combination of colors, the design you like, the quilting that goes into it.
Which ones do you like?
Well, like I said, I like ones that have lots of different patterns in it. I prefer applique. I like quilts that have a lot of quilting on it. I find that I'm doing more and more quilting on my quilts. And that's taking a lot longer. I'm working on a quilt right now. It's a graduation quilt for one of my nieces, and I bought a spool of thread to use for the bobbin because I used the clear on the top, and I went through a whole spool of thread on the back of that quilt. That's 500 yards, and I'm not done. So it's got a lot of quilting on it, and I like that.
What makes a quilt artistically powerful?
I think that's beyond me to answer. Artistically powerful. I don't know if I'm that, I don't think I can answer that.
What makes a quilt appropriate for a museum or a special collection?
Well, there's a lot of debate about art quilts and, regular quilts, and really every quilt is a work of art. It's just, art is different to everybody. So it's, when the Guild has had exhibits at the Art Center here in Battle Creek, and just putting, a normal bed quilt under lights in a gallery makes it art. And I think that's what's so exciting about that exhibit is to see our quilts displayed like that.
What makes a great quilt maker?
Are hard questions. What makes a great quilt maker? Somebody who enjoys what she's doing.
Whose works are you drawn to and why?
This can be anybody, right?
Oh, yeah.
I've got a lot of quilting heroes in our guild. One of them, two of them that came to mind right away were Wanda Warner and Joyce Rupp, and both of those, I think I'm drawn to their work because of the quilting they do. They both do machine quilting, which has been a process for me to improve that. So I'm drawn to theirs because of the beautiful quilting they do on it. Shirley Palmer is an amazing quilter because of her sense of colors, the way she puts colors together, and the beautiful applique she does. You know, that's just a few of my quilting heroes.
Which artists have influenced you?
Artists? I can't say that any have, you know. I mean, like famous painting artists?
Well, maybe quilt artists.
I don't know.
Okay.
Can't really say that any have.
How do you feel about machine quilting versus hand quilting?
Well, I'm a big fan of machine quilting. To me, and I've done both. When I first started quilting, I hand quilted everything, and I really enjoy the process of hand quilting, but I want to make more than two quilts a year. So the speed of machine quilting helps me finish things, and to me, it's a harder process to do than hand quilting. Hand quilting is very relaxing. You sit down, and you've got a hoop in your lap, and you know you can make it look nice. It just takes a lot of time. Machine quilting, when I first started doing it, it was an ugly mess. It was hard to get that quilt through the machine. You know, the back had puckers in it, you know. It was hard to make it look nice. And so that's why I admire somebody who does beautiful machine quilting, because I think it's harder to do beautiful machine quilting on a regular sewing machine than it is to do beautiful hand quilting.
What about long-arm quilting?
Long-arm quilting, there's a place for everything. There's a place for everything in quilting, you know. Some people are snobs where, you know, you're not doing it all yourself. You know, it only can be hand-pieced, hand-quilted, but there's room in this quilting world for every different technique there is. And, you know, if you've got a long-arm quilting machine and you can operate it, more power to you.
Why is quilt making important to your life?
It just is. it's you know, a way to fulfill my creative urges. I mean, that sounds, I don't know. It is. I just enjoy doing it.
In what ways do your quilts reflect your community or region?
I don't know. I don't have a good answer for that.
What do you think about the importance of quilts in American life?
Well, it's a traditional, you know, country art, I think, that has gone, you know, worldwide, or, you know, it's not just a country thing that women do when they cut up old shirts and dresses. It's become a full-fledged art and, you know, probably a multi-million dollar business. But what was the question?
What do you think about the importance of quilts in American life?
Oh, importance of quilts. Well, I think everybody should sleep under a quilt, you know, but that's just me.
In what ways do you think quilts have special meaning for women's history in America?
I think it was different, you know, in the past, you know, when women were making quilts out of old clothes and stuff, because then there was a historical record of what they had, you know, at the time, you know, whether it's feed sacks or old aprons or whatever that they're cutting up to make quilts. It's a little different now, you know, but there are still a lot of ways to record history in quilts. I've been making graduation quilts for my nieces and nephews as they graduate from high school, and on the back, I piece into the back an open area. I usually use the digits of their graduation year, like this year was 2010. And they have it at their open house, and everybody signs it. So it's a history of that event for that person. So, you know, this is, you know, my way of giving them something they can keep and hold on to.
How do you think quilts can be used?
Can be used? Well, we can sleep under them, we can hang them on the walls to view, we can put them on our tables. There's just infinite possibilities.
How do you think quilts can be preserved for the future?
Well, you know, I've got two minds about that. I mean, you should be able, you should preserve your quilts for the future because, you know, you put a lot of time in and you'd like for them to last forever. But on the other hand, I like, if I give a quilt for a gift, I tell people I don't put it away in a closet to keep it for nice. Use it. Use it and use it up. If it, you know, like this one, it's on its way to being used up, but it brings me joy every day. So, you know, if I don't, if I put it away, I can't enjoy it. So, yes, it's important to preserve our quilts for the future. On the other hand, we should enjoy them today.
What has happened to quilts that you've made for your family or friends?
For the most part, they enjoy them and appreciate them. I have requests for quilts all the time. Like I said, I did graduation quilts for all my nieces and nephews as they graduate from high school. They're now starting to get married, so I'm doing a quilt for when they get married. They're thrilled with them. I have made a few flannel quilts that weren't any great works of art that got used up, meaning the dog got a hold of them, they got holes in them. I got them back to see if I could salvage them, and it's like, no, sorry, have to throw that one out, I'll make you a new one. But, you know, I can't say that they've, well, maybe when the dog gets a hold of them, that might be a little abused, but for the most part, they're not abused, and they're appreciated.
What do you think is the biggest challenge confronting quilt makers today?
One of the challenges, I think, is that the general public thinks that a quilt is worth whatever JCPenney sells them for. You know, they're selling the imports from China for, you know, $58, and you know, the man on the street thinks that, you know, a quilt is worth $58 when, you know, if I'm making a quilt, if anybody's making a quilt and using quality fabrics, you've got $100 into the fabrics alone, plus all your hours of labor on there. So, you know, it's hard to get across that, you know, these quilts are worth more than what they're selling for in the store. And another thing, too, I think a lot of people, you know, if I tell people I'm a quilter, all they say, oh, that's a dying art. Well, no. No, it isn't. You don't live in my world, so you might think that, but it's really not true.
Have you ever been a board member or a chair of a committee in a guild?
Yeah. Actually, when I first joined the guild, a couple months after I joined, I got a call from somebody on the nominating committee and asked if I wanted to be the secretary. It was kind of out of the blue. It's like, well, what the heck, why not? And that was a great way to get to know people in the guild, was to jump right in and join the board. I think I was secretary for 5 years. I was vice president for a couple years. I was president for 2 years. I chaired the quilt show for 1 year.
That's a big job.
Yep.
Do you teach quilting, or have you taught quilting?
I have, not consistently anywhere. I've taught at quilt camp. I've taught some classes at some of the local quilt shops.
Have you ever won an award?
Yeah, a few. at our quilt show, I've won, I don't know what I've won. Yeah, I've won a number. 1 year I was very pleased to see that I won Best of Show at the quilt show. It was kind of funny because my brother had been visiting and I had that quilt on a spare bed, and he was looking at it, it's like, wow, that's an ugly quilt. You know, men, they give their opinion, you know. It's like, of course, it doesn't bother me because, you know, his opinion is not mine, and went to the quilt show and it won Best of Show. So then now when he sees quilts that I'm working on, he'll say, oh, it looks like another award winner.
Anything else you'd like to discuss? Did we miss anything?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Okay. This concludes our interview. It's 1:04. Thank you, Lori.
Okay.